Well, guys, really excited to be here today. I do just want to, again, echo, Brian, thank you for that blessing, by the way. I receive it. That was awesome. Going to have sort of a message today that's kind of more of a prophetic message. I've been in a study, really awesome study, one of the best scripture studies I've ever been in for about a month. And I have more than 20 pages of notes and revelation written out from that study of 137 scriptures that I was going through. And even a framework from that that's so powerful. But the Lord spoke to me. I was here prepping on Friday or Thursday, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, you have a framework, but that's not a vision. And I said, okay. And he said, I want you to cast your vision. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to cast vision. For some of you, you've heard this, some parts of this, although I've gotten much more clarity. I've spoken in small groups about this since about February. Interestingly, I thought I was going to share this vision with the whole church, and I just kept feeling all spring long to kind of just take it slow, take it slow, take it slow. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm figuring I was going to kind of keep taking it slow. The Lord spoke to me, and he said, no, vision, now. So it's like, okay, that's what I'm going to do today. I'm excited about it. And the message is titled, The Charge Committed to Agathos. The Charge Committed to Agathos. I believe there's a prophetic charge that's been given to our church, and therefore it is good for us to know what that charge is, because for lack of vision, a people perish, but happy are those who keep the law. And the law there is not only the word of God, but I also believe Chris Valadin says it's the law of restraint. When you have a vision, all of a sudden you start to operate within restraint towards accomplishing that vision. When you have a financial goal, all of a sudden you start to operate in some restraint with other parts of your finances to accomplish that financial goal. And you'll be happy when you accomplish that goal. And so it's for lack of vision that a people perish. This vision I'm real excited to give, and I'll just kind of start developing it. First of all, what's really neat for me is that when I took over the church, went from being associate pastor to lead pastor, that September, I think it was, we were coming back from the Canfield Fair. So it would have been Labor Day. So just after I took over the church, we were driving back from Youngstown, me, Megan, and the boys, and I heard the Lord say this. He put this on my heart. He said, Brad laid a foundation for the church. Your job is to now bring it above ground. So right as I took over the church, the Lord said, Brad's laid a foundation, right? Paul said, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, right? And so that's what Brad did. Thank you. And then the Lord spoke to me, said, your job's to bring it above ground. And what's so neat is here, we're above ground. Seriously, thank you, Lord. Now, the other thing that's super neat about this whole thing is that last fall, I think you guys know, before Brad was Joshua. Joshua was the pastor, Brad's nephew, Joshua, Renee's son, Margie's grandson. It's all in the family. And yes, your nephew. Thank you, thank you. I'm trying. What do they tell public speakers? Don't give specific names unless you have a list. No. What's so neat is that, you know, I've maintained great relationship with Joshua all this time, of course, as has Brad, being family and all this sort of thing. But last fall, we had this thing on us. There was a divine sort of meeting Brad and I had at a park in Grandview. And it was a word that I think some people had given us. And it kind of, anyway, we felt like, man, we need to honor Joshua. And so last fall, we got together people that had been in the church at the time Joshua was pastor, about 20 of us. And we just honored and blessed Joshua for everything he sowed into that body. And to be honest with you, he had been treated very badly by some people on his way out of pastoring. And it was totally inappropriate how he was treated, because he is a precious man of God, and he did a great job. So what's interesting is that now, not only Brad laid a foundation, right? My job was to bring it above ground. Joshua had a vision for this sort of a space 15 years ago. When he started the church, it was the first space we met in. It was called the third place. The idea of a third place is it's not your home, it's not your office, it's a third place. That's why he called it a third place. It's just that he was about 10 years before his time. Co-working spaces didn't exist when he did that. I mean, maybe a few did, but they were really not mainstream. And yet he saw ahead what it was supposed to be. And so what's so neat is here we are in this space, we've come above ground, and full circle, we're in this sort of space that Joshua had a vision for from the start. That's strong. I'm just thankful for that. On May 24th of this year, I woke up and I wanted to be in the Word, and I was like arrested by hope. Again, I'm kind of giving a prophetic message. And by the way, the Lord was ministering to me, so I'll just tell you the same thing. He said, do not disdain giving a prophetic message instead of a teaching message today. And he reminded me that the church is built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, not on teachers. The teachers are necessary. In fact, in another section where it lists the top, you know, I think 1 Corinthians 12, it says there's apostles and prophets and teachers, you know. So the whole fivefold's necessary, but I felt like the Lord was ministering to me. He said, do not hold back giving basically a prophetic message, okay? Because we need to be sensitive as a church to what the Lord's saying and what he's doing. And so for me, this is like basically a narrative of what the Lord's been speaking and what he's been saying over our church and what he's been speaking to me and what the vision is and these sorts of things. And I'm trying to bring you guys up to speed. And I think it's going to be essential because this next series is going to start to catch some traction. But the traction that I'm going to be sharing with you almost won't have a grid to go into if you aren't carrying the same vision and the same charge that I'm carrying for our church. On May 24th, I woke up and I was like arrested by hope. I went to get into the Word, and for like 2 hours, all I could do is dream. And you know, the Bible actually says we're supposed to be prisoners of hope. I think it's in Zechariah. Dave Crone has a book called Prisoners of Hope. But that's just awesome. And so hope just started stirring in my heart this morning, and I kept asking myself the question, what would it look like if blank? What would it look like if blank? What would it look like if blank? And I believe the Lord was stirring me to hope. What if? And Dave Crone gave a great message, by the way. If anybody else, Lori has some of the CDs from the conference in Wyoming. If anyone else wants CDs from the conference in Wyoming, talk to me. I don't have them with me today, but I'm doing like a loan out thing with those. Outstanding talks were given at that conference. And one of them, Dave Crone talked about going from what now to what if to why not. Sometimes when trauma strikes our life, we get into a what now expectation. What now? That's fear. What if is hope, and why not is faith. Why not? So here's what I had written down. I'm just giving you some prophecies fulfilled about this space. On May 24th, here's what I wrote down. What would it look like to have a building that is above ground? What would it look like to have a building that was perpetually clean and easy to keep nice? What would it look like to have a building that we could meet in at 10:30 on Sunday morning? I know we're meeting 11:30 right now. I'm going to propose that we move it a little bit forward for the sake of naps and being a little bit more mainstream with when people think of church. But I know some of you probably don't want to move it too much forward, so I'll talk with it. We'll decide as a group, you know? Okay, what would it look, if we are going to legislate the kingdom of God on earth, we ought to be able to decide a time together. Serious. What would it look like to have a building that was easily visible, easily accessible, hello parking lot, and delightful to look at? Now, they don't want the outside of this building to look super nice because of the neighborhood in a way, but the inside looks incredible. Okay. What would it look like to have a building that gave glory and honor to God, that showed God off? And then I wrote in big caps because I like screamed it out loud, creative ideas be released. Two weeks later, Joshua texts me and says, do you need a space? I've got just the one. Creative ideas be released. When you speak something in prayer, sometimes it's a few weeks later that you see something manifest. Yesterday, I just got an incredible deal on a saw that I've been wanting for my wood shop. About a year ago, I heard someone was selling one of these through like a friend. And I was going to try to get in contact with that guy. I never got in contact with him. Turns out this great deal I got on a saw yesterday, the person that I bought it from was that guy. I probably prayed a year ago, surprised it hadn't been sold yet. And then yesterday I drove past a place where the sale was happening, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, turn around. And I'm like, there's nobody in the parking lot there. It seems like a real thin sale this year. And sure enough, there that is. Isn't that awesome? So sometimes, you know, you pray and then you see later. Okay, and then I said last one, what would it look like to have a building that could host visiting ministers? Praise God. We can host visiting ministers. So I just want to thank the Lord. He's answering prayer, and just really neat. I also want to thank everyone else for helping with this space. I know this sounds like an academy speech right now, but it really is necessary. Guys, the board has been amazing in helping through this process. We have a board, and they help with financial matters and have oversight in this regard, and that's Brian and Sherry and Brad and me. And it's just an incredible board. When Mark Crawford was here a number of years ago, he joined a board meeting. He said, guys, I've never seen one like that before. The unity that you guys operate with, the deference you operate with, the way that you can, challenge each other, and at the same time, just, guys, we're the sort of board that if I pitch an idea to the board, and then someone else comes up with the idea that is actually from God, we all, celebrate. Like, the person that pitched the idea that doesn't go ends up celebrating as someone else gets it. You're like, that's it, that's it. I mean, there's, no holding on to your own idea. There's not pride operating in that group. It's just awesome. So getting to go through a process like this, I mean, this is a different sort of space, and the board was just all over it. Just awesome working. And Brad in particular, thank you. Brad helped me with all manner of negotiations and going to see the space and all that sort of thing. So Brad was in the nitty-gritty with me, so thanks for that. All the prophetic words that we've received, thanks for those. The intercessory team, thank you. Brenda and Lori and Renee in particular, but just everybody, Deborah for praying on Fridays, or is it Thursdays now? Thursdays, faithfully, thank you all. I think you guys might have heard at Church in the Park the one time, the entire intercessory team all on the same Sunday in June got this word for our space, time to move. They didn't know we were looking yet. Isn't that powerful? So I just real thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Wave, the ministry that's here that we're subletting from. Isn't that awesome? I mean, seriously, they've prepped a space that we're able to just step into. Every piece of furniture in here, all the design, everything that just feels so good, the sound equipment that sounds awesome. It was prepped for us. So we just thank the Lord for that. And for Joshua. Again, it's so the Lord that the first pastor of the church, who we went out of our way to honor last fall, ends up finding our space for us. That's not a coincidence. Like when Joshua said, I've got just the space for you, in me it was like, wouldn't that be like God? Wouldn't that be like God? Okay, so just a few thanks there. And by the way, typically I want to finish at 1:15. I probably won't finish at 1:15 today. We're just working things out here, getting used to it. So thanks for your graciousness about that. 1 Timothy 1:18, if you want to turn there, I want to highlight something to you. Okay, Ryan, why don't you read it?
This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare.
Our church has been charged with a charge. Charged with a charge. There's a charge on Agathos. This charge I commit to you, Agathos. What's the charge? The charge is according to the prophecies previously made concerning our church. You see what I just did there? The charge that we have is according to the prophecies previously made concerning our church. And that charge has been committed to us in the sense that we are now stewards of that charge. And so my goal today is to charge you with the charge that I believe our church has been charged with, so that as we start to do the work of exploring what it looks like to walk that charge out, that you may wage the good warfare to do that work. Good? Just want to highlight a few prophecies. Remember this year at the beginning of the year prophesied that this is a year of convergence where old prophetic words are going to come together. The pieces are going to come together. Thank you, Lord. 2017, this would have been January of 2017, I shared a word that I had seen the Lord get up in front of our congregation. I'm just reminding you of some prophetic words spoken over our church, okay? This is important. You need to shepherd your prophetic history. You need to steward your prophetic history. I know many of you in here have 10, 15, 20 prophetic words that float around in your sort of consciousness as things the Lord has spoken over you. And you need to guard those so that you can wage the good warfare with the prophetic words concerning you. You need to wage the good warfare with the prophetic words concerning your child. Wage the good warfare with the prophetic words concerning our church. Now, I said that I saw the Lord get up and speak to our church. And he said, I'm calling you to go out, to reach out, to deliver to your neighbors what I've delivered to you. The world is ready and waiting for you. He said, as I look over this congregation, I see leaders and I see influencers. And then he called us his secret weapon and hidden gem. I don't think we're going to be so secret much longer. Now, listen, I think our church will probably grow in numbers. I actually kind of don't care. I kind of do. I kind of don't. It will grow in influence. That's good, Peter. You can agree with me, too, if you want to be right.
The verse that Peter had me read, I wrote this down, and this was a month after, in 2017, Christopher, before he left our church, read that exact verse, 1 Timothy. Yeah.
So, just wanted to say that. So.
Thank you for that. Okay, here's a longer word from 2013. I've read it to you before, but I just want to highlight it again. And if you're you ought to go back and listen to this message and really meditate on this word. I believe this was a very specific word for our congregation. We've been charged with something. The destiny of this church, this is from Mark Crawford, is to be a prototype church. These words mean something. That is going to equip and send people. Now, by the way, how do I say this? Do you know why I have a wood shop at my house? Yeah. For those listening online, it's to make things out of wood. Now, okay, no paper airplanes, buddy. Do you know why? Let me just be even more plain. I have one because I want one. You see what I'm saying? A lot of you don't want a wood shop. That's why you don't have one. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not because God's not providing for you. It's because you don't want one. I'm here to tell you, I don't want a church of 5,000 people with 100 programs in it. I don't want one. I do want a wood shop. I do want a church like this. I don't want a church like that. Some people want a church like that, just like some people want to have a pottery studio in their house, which I don't want. Do you see what I'm saying? Just trying to make a point. My point is, God's wired me to be a prototyper. It's a really good thing, because he said this is going to be a prototype church. For a lot of pastors, that would not be something they want. For this pastor, it's something I want. If you're going to be in this church, you're going to learn to want it too. If not, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, it's going to equip and send people. Those are the priorities. Notice it didn't say it's going to gather people as a priority. People are going to go out into society. Sounds like the kingdom, doesn't it? Into places, and you're going to make a difference. They're going to be bringing the kingdom into places. So you gather together in a time such as this. This was a Sunday morning service. He gave this word. You encourage one another. You hear what God is saying. You come together. You worship together. And the gifts are operating. But it is a training place. It's a training place. Because all those things, the gifts, will actually happen on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at a greater intensity than in here. This is the prophetic destiny that's on this church. And then Mark says this, can I tell you, and I don't even know how, if I can communicate this, but I'm going to try. You have an incredible privilege as a group of people. You have a privilege in the days that are ahead of you, and I believe those days are now. The sons of Issachar were prophets that knew not only what to do, but when to do it. Many times you have prophetic words that haven't activated because you don't know the timing of them. I'm telling you, we just had an exchange in prayer before service where we realized this is a now sort of thing. Brenda, I understand, had a word for a number of years, not too quick. Don't birth what God's put into Agathos too quickly. The church is pregnant with something, but don't birth it too quickly. Don't birth it too quickly. Don't birth it too quickly. Brenda, wait till you hear the word I share in a second. I didn't realize you used to say that. Okay, you have an incredible privilege. You have a privilege in the days that are ahead of you to display something that a group of people do as a church of the kingdom. Remember the entire message, like February through May? A church of the kingdom. What was my point then? The ecclesia is about the kingdom. The church is not the central thing. The kingdom is the central thing. Peter, I need a verse for that, okay? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. The church serves the kingdom. Okay, the kingdom coming. God has not called you to play church. Renee said that for about 50 years. God has not called you to be a people where you are just talking. He has called you to be a people who are the church. He's called you to be a people who are a people of action. He's called you to be a people where you'll see the kingdom come and you'll see his will being done on earth unlike any other place. There's a unique call upon us. Not all of you are supposed to have a wood shop. I am not supposed to have a pottery studio. Praise God, hallelujah. You can't do everything. There's a lot of churches that are not called to do what we're about to do, but we're called to do it. Unlike any other place. There's such an amazing calling and destiny around you guys where it won't just be one or two of you, but there'll be a whole group of you, all of you moving together. I can see it so amazingly. It's like in formation, Mark said, but yet you're going in different places, but you're still in formation. Doesn't quite make sense, because if you're not in formation and yet you're going different places, it's a paradox, but that's what it'll be. More on that later. Remember I had that vision of one rake with one message in many tines? We've been charged with a calling. This calling will require a new wineskin. And I'm probably going to keep coming back to this wineskin thing over and over and over because you are in charge of shepherding your heart about the new wineskin. Hear what I just said. We need to be tending to this new wineskin. And I'm not just saying we meaning me and we meaning me and what I teach you. I'm saying you, each of you, needs to tend your heart as it relates to this new wineskin. And today I'm going to give you two teachings about how to tend your heart as it relates to operating in a new wineskin and stepping into a new wineskin. And I might come back to this and back to this and back to this until the Spirit of the Lord lifts off this as an emphasis for me. But there's this emphasis on me saying train about the new wineskin, the new wineskin, the new wineskin, how to operate in a new wineskin. Because remember, Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about new wineskin. And Luke 5, 36 to 39 says, Jesus spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also that piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. There's so much to unpack there in practical walking these things out, but I'm just unpack two things for you today. I just want to give you some prophetic perspective. I not only function prophetically myself, but sometimes I feel a little bit like a prophetic clearinghouse where the Lord will highlight different prophecies coming out from different people, and it's like, oh, there's something about that, and I'll be hearing that, okay? One of the ways that Mark functions prophetically really strongly is he gets words ahead of their time, usually about 2 years before they become in the collective consciousness of most of the prophetic community. And I've learned to listen because Mark will start talking about something that I haven't heard people talk about, and usually I'll think, what is he talking about? This, like, so doesn't connect for me. Like, not like I think he's wrong. I'm just like, huh? And Mark will just keep talking about it and talking about it. And in a few months, it's like, I know what Mark's saying, but I still don't have a place to put it. And then, like, a year later, you'll hear all sorts of prophets start talking about the exact same thing. This happened for me. I've known Mark for a decade. It's happened for me multiple times. A couple years ago, while Trump was still a candidate, Mark said this. He said, the Lord's speaking to me about revolution and reformation. Those two words. Revolution, reformation. Remember in October, before Trump was elected, October 2016, I told you guys I had a dream. I was falling asleep, and I literally was like falling, and I was on a bridge that collapsed after a big shaking. And the Lord told me, tell my people to not be shaken by the shaking that's coming. We've been in revolution. Revolution 1.0 was Trump being elected. Revolution 2.0 was Kavanaugh being confirmed. There is a major shaking that's going on in the spiritual realm. Anybody feel that recently? It's intense. Revolution. Reformation. Do you know what Reformation is? We're in the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. The Lord is reforming the church right now as we speak. It has started. It has started. I'm speaking to you. I'm saying at a very global level right now, there's a reformation coming to the church. Big C, ecclesia of God. And it needed the revolution first, and now the reformation is released. Now, I told the Lord beforehand today, I said, Lord, if these words are from you, put your power on them. I don't know if you feel that, but right now I'm like getting rocked up here. Remember, Reformation. What was I speaking on all spring? What is church? Upon this rock I'll build my blank. So I'm asking this question, what is church? I get this CD from Joseph Prince. We partner with Joseph Prince financially from time to time. I get this CD that he sends his partners, and the title of this CD is the church good for the world? Or like, what good is the church to the world? Question mark. I've listened to Joseph Prince for years, never heard him teach on like the church. In that way. Why is he all of a sudden teaching on it? Maybe he's got the Holy Ghost too. I know he does. Francis Chan just released a book called Letters to the Churches. He's asking all these questions like, what is church? That's the whole book. He's saying like, what is church? Like, what's the Word of God say about church? What are we doing? He's not being critical. He's just saying like, what are we doing? When we look back 50 years from now, will we feel like we did what we saw in 1 Thessalonians or what we saw in Galatians? Like, what did Paul say to these churches? What are we doing? Do you start to notice a trend? Let me give you another one. Mike Bickle, who leads IHOP out of Kansas City, he just wrote an open letter to the church at large and said, it's an open letter about the prophetic movement and the prayer movement, which he's been an instrumental leader in for 2 decades. And he's basically saying, guys, we had a plan for our One Thing conference, their marquee conference at the end of December that they have every year. And do you know what he just said? He said, we scrapped our entire plan. He said, the Lord is speaking so strongly right now that we need to have our ear listening so closely so that we hear what he's wanting to do in this season and we don't succumb to preconceived structures. He said, I declare a reset over the prophetic and prayer movements. And he said, if we don't catch it, we're going to miss God in this season. And so we're going to have like just a consecrated assembly at One Thing and have no agenda because he said, otherwise we're missing it. We're going to miss it. And I'm saying, guys, all of this is coming out like this year. Okay, let me give you another one. Oh, where's my, Megs, could you run and get the Ecclesia book out of my briefcase in there? Ed Silvoso, who for like 3 decades has been a major thought leader as it relates to the kingdom of God being expressed in all areas of society, just released a book in 2017. Do you know what the title of the book is? Ecclesia. Are you catching what's sort of happening prophetically? There's a reformation that's coming to the church. And let me give you also part of the prophetic lineage of this church. One of the reasons this church was started is Joshua Weir, our first pastor, was driving down the road, had an open vision, and the Lord spoke to him out of that vision and said, I'm going to change the face of the church in a generation. And the implication was, and some of the church is not going to come with me. And the final part of the implication was, and they will be left behind. That's not harsh. It's just the reality. Okay? Guys, Ecclesia et Silvoso, if never has there been a book so well aligned to what I'm bringing as this book, so I would encourage everybody in the congregation to buy this book. Ecclesia et Silvoso. Okay? Now, here then the caveats. Yes? The wave.
I would just say, this is the wave, that's the name of the space, and so many of us have had words about there's a wave coming of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be ready to catch it, to surf it in. And I was like, I told Pastor, I said, it's the wave. It's the wave.
Guys, even the wave's ministry is an ecclesia-type ministry. They were running a church, a popular church, and they realized, we're not pastors, we're apostles and prophets. Let's go do what we're called to do. So, I mean, just there's this convergence of all these sorts of things happening. By the way, get this book. I'd encourage everybody to get this book. Two things. In getting this book, don't think that in reading it, you now know everything I'm going to be teaching. Yeah, right. Okay, I'm not saying that like I'm teaching from this book or something like that, but I'm saying get it and don't presume that everything in here is exactly what I think or whatever. But I'm just saying would be a great resource for everyone in here. I could never teach. He's got 40 years of insight. He's the world's thought leader in this topic. Here's what Bill Johnson said about this book. One of the greatest books of our lifetime. C. Peter Wagner said, not just an important book to read and digest, it is an extraordinarily important book. C. Peter Wagner is probably the world's expert in church growth before he passed away recently. So I'm just telling you, get this book. Now, one of the things I notice, quick sidebar, many Christians do not do a good job of reading books by Christian authors. I don't call them anything, but they become like ping-pongy in their walk. I read this book, and it said this and this and this and this and this. And then they come over here, and I read this book, and it said this and this and this and this and this. And I read this book, and it said this and this and this and this. Just have one Holy Spirit, please. And just have one book, please. And so, but what I am telling you is you can read a book like this and it'll open doors of understanding to you and fill in dots that you might take 20 years to get otherwise. So I'm not saying don't read, but I'm saying read this with the Holy Spirit. Don't make their revelation your Holy Spirit. That's a good word. Now, notes about operating in the new wineskin. Here's the first point. Revelation is both progressive and positional. So revelation, stepping into the things of God, is a progressive process and a positional process. The progressive part means it's bit by bit. I mean, why didn't we figure this thing out in 2013? Mark gave us the word then. I mean, you guys right now, we're meeting in a space that's pretty non-conventional. And this is our normal service, quote unquote, and next week you do house churches. I don't think we were ready for that in 2013. I don't know about you. So revelation is progressive. You get it bit by bit. A thing that you need to guard against when you're operating in a new wineskin, listen closely, is the tendency to want more than your daily bread. Megan and I were meeting with Derek and Aaron like 2 months ago. I was sharing some ideas with them, and then the Lord spoke through them to me. And then Joshua then confirmed this word a month ago. Joshua texted me, or gave me a voice message saying, hey, I've got a prophetic word for you. And what he said, go about this new space, go slow, 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 and keep your hands off. And it turns out Renee's been praying the same sort of thing. Lord, don't let us be conformed into sort of... You have to get the revelation bit by bit. People that want the whole revelation now that aren't fine with the daily bread process, what's going on there, I believe, in the heart is that you believe that in moments of particular anointing, you can hear God, but you don't believe you can hear him little by little. Did you catch me? Because if you believe you can hear him little by little, you're going to take it day by day knowing, well, he's going to tell me what I need to hear today. And he'll give me what I need to hear the next day. And then sometimes he'll give me a lot, but mostly I just gather my bread day by day because my dad is the baker. We as a body, I'm saying you need to guard your heart. We as a body need to guard our hearts not to demand the full manifestation of what God's doing straight away. To do that is to put the arm of the flesh into the equation. And as soon as the arm of the flesh comes into the equation, it will not produce life and peace, but it'll produce death in something that was only supposed to be life and peace. It will be by the Spirit. I, of course, probably need to guard my heart about that the most of all. So what I don't need to do is ask for two of you to go to the coffee shop tomorrow so that we can have a two-hour brainstorming session on napkins in order to figure out every little thing that we're going to be doing at this new space. Do you see what I'm saying? And some of you are going to have a tendency to feel, particularly those of you who are sort of planners and these sorts of things, you're going to be like, yeah, but what is it? What are we going to do? I don't know. Okay, that's the nature of exploring. That's the nature of being a prototyping organization instead of a replicated organization. Chris Valadin says that R&D culture is about innovation. Research and development is about innovation. Manufacturing is about no defects. The core goal of manufacturing is not to screw anything up. But if Apple's innovation department was afraid of making mistakes, you'd never get an iPhone 11. So we just need to be willing to try some new things, and it's going to be a bit by bit sort of incremental type process. Revelation is progressive. The further you go, the more you know. By the way, the nature of revelation is relational. If anybody thinks that he knows something, he doesn't yet know as he ought to know. You're supposed to know someone. I won't give the whole message today, but I got just a little more. I had this encounter when I was at the Mission Church in California in May. My friend's brother, who's a prophet there, walked up to me. It was really accurate. He said, "You're a seer, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, that's what I'm told." He said, "Well, you're going to start to see in the heavenly realms." I said, "Okay, that's interesting." And I said, because it just happened yesterday, more strongly than ever before. So let me tell you what happened. I was in this worship time at the mission in a small group of prophetic folks, and I was taken into heaven. Like in my mind's eye, I was taken into heaven in my mind's eye. And I'm there, and I'm outside this room that's called the patent library. I thought, this has got to be good. The patent library, I mean, anything in heaven's good, but the patent library is really good. I'm thinking business plans, come on. I'm invited by Jesus to go into the patent library. Jesus is there with me. I go into the patent library, and there's all of these binders with things written on the spine, and it's like, take any off the shelf you want to. So I take some binders, I think, off the shelf, and I sit down in a chair in this library like this. And as I'm sitting in the chair, I open up the binder, and the binder's empty. All there is a mirror on the inside of the binder. And standing behind me, looking over my shoulder, is Jesus. And inside the binder is the face of Jesus that I'm looking into in the patent binder. Can I give you a scripture for this? Colossians 1:15 and 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Here's the verse. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. If you think you know something, you don't yet know as you ought to know. You're supposed to know someone. All of the wisdom of God dwells in someone. The relational disconnect some of us feel with the Lord causes us to want to get revelation, to take revelation, to go do revelation apart from connection. That sort of wisdom puffs up, but love builds up. You can't steward revelation apart from relationship. Okay, that's an aside. So progressive, bit by bit. Why? Well, why do we need it to be more than bit by bit? We don't. The second thing revelation is positional. Part of the word Joshua gave me, he said there's going to be some things in your guys' mindsets that shift once you're in that space. In other words, don't try to design anything yet. You don't know what you don't know yet. Sometimes you got to get in a certain space and then you get new revelation. I believe that's what we're going to experience here. So I'm telling you, you got to guard your heart to take it bit by bit here. Okay? Here's the next thing, and then I'll end with this. And then I'll pick up with the rest of the talk next time. I had another encounter in heaven, and these are new for me, and I'm partly excited to share this with you guys, because for some of you, it'll open up some territory, or for others, it'll be confirming to sorts of things you've experienced before, because I know some of you have experienced these sorts of things. Sometimes when I'm in prayer, real quiet, I'll hear things like other people are talking. You might say, yeah, we've known you've been crazy. And now we have proof. See minute 38 on the sermon. Well, recently, that was happening to me again. And I've always wondered, like, is this just a distraction? I mean, some of them be sort of profound things that pass by or whatever. But then I thought, actually, I know a lot of people have told me, hey, you're a seer, you know, you see things and these sorts of things. And I've experienced that a lot in many ways. But usually I've seen in the natural. But I have this word from this one prophet who said, you're going to start seeing in the heavens. And I said, okay, and I think that's time. And I had this encounter that I just shared with you. So I was in prayer about 3-4 weeks ago. And I start hearing these things, and I thought, okay, I've got the Holy Spirit. Let me just track this down. So I get out a pencil, and I start writing down what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing, thinking, at the end, either this is going to be gibberish, or it'll be something. But I'll tell you one way I won't know if it's something is if I don't record it. And this is one of the keys to the prophetic, is you need to record your words. You need to see if they come to pass. It'll start to let you know, do I hear correctly? You know. And don't be afraid if you don't, because God loves you. He's not loving you because you're hearing correctly. He's loving you because you're you, and he's him. So I'm going to just read this to you. It's a little bit long, like 3-4 minutes maybe, and I'm going to share some of the interpretation for some of it. There's other parts I won't give an interpretation for, although some of them I do have an interpretation. Some of them maybe you'll have an interpretation, and some of it might be worthless, but I think some of it's very powerful for this message about what's the other thing we need to guard our hearts with, this wineskin. It's your world, I heard. Like, I heard that. It's your world. And I took really detailed notes, so almost everything is, like, verbatim. Okay, so that's why I'm going to mostly read, because I can't do it from memory with the way I did it. I then sensed and saw a deformed, contorted child seemingly waiting in the wing. As I looked closer, I saw it was actually an adult stuck in the birth canal. Then I heard this phrase, your birthday is supposed to be your earth day. It was clear to me that this was about how all creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, and that when we are born again, our birthday, it is supposed to be the day we begin releasing heaven to the earth, our earth day. I then heard the adult or child, the adult slash child, speak, I feel so stifled. I then saw the hands of a clock at 3 p.m. and heard someone say, it's time to come out. The scene then changed for me to what appeared to be a court hearing slash Congress type setting. I heard someone call for the session or case to call it into order, and they called it into order with this phrase, "Everyone here has a reason." And it was clear to me that the announcement was as if to say, quote, "You are all here for a reason, and what you are about to see slash hear pertains to you. Don't think this doesn't apply to you." So I'm thinking, okay. I then heard this phrase, "highly weighted hostility in programs," but I couldn't tell if it was that phrase or this, "highly rated hostility in programs." So I couldn't make it out between the two. The sense of the scene then became more clear, and it occurred to me that this was an internal to the church court-martial type hearing for the soldiers of Christ. It was an internal to the church court-martial type hearing for the soldiers of Christ. Two rulings were then passed. Notice not condemnations or convictions, just rulings. And the rulings were, one, hostility towards the church equals being held in contempt of the church. And two, programs equals being held in contempt of the body. The explanation came to me, the church is a multifaceted living body, not a program machine or robot. A mandate then came alive in my heart, quote, "The organic church needs to partner with the traditional church to bring forth the body of Christ to impact the world." I then asked God, "Father, why are the courts convened over this?" And the Father responded without delay, "I will not have dissension in my ranks." I then saw two individuals, and maybe I'll skip some of this. I saw two individuals in a workshop as though they were looking for nuts and bolts on the ground. One of them said, "Did you see any?" And the other said, "I didn't see any extras." The other responded, "Extras caught my ear in the spirit, and the phrase burst forth in my heart, there are no extras in the body of Christ." Okay, then I saw a bicycle pump gauge, and the tire it was trying to inflate couldn't take any more air, and the hose burst off. I'll just share it all. Then I saw a mother with her young son showing up late for school and checking him in at the front desk, and she said, the person at the school was like, "Why wasn't your kid here for the start of school?" And she said, "I thought he was done. He's been to school before." And around this time, I heard the phrase "tag team" in the spirit. Next, still at the school, I saw some Nikes or Air Jordan fancy tennis shoes that kids wear walking into the school's door. And they're the fancy tennis shoes that actually don't usually get used to play basketball, just to look cool. And they were covered in freshly cut grass from having done hard work, which is not what you'd normally see with these kids. Will never let these things not get white. Okay, all that put together, and some of it I won't give a direct interpretation for, but it all kind of came together for me. The interpretation I have is this. The body of Christ has been stifled. Remember that? Stuck in the birth canal? I feel so stifled. The weighted or rated programs, whatever I heard, of the church are being held in heavenly contempt of the body. The heavily programmatic church programs are being held in contempt of the body. They're stifling the body of Christ. The would-be reformers of the church who are hostile to the church are being held in contempt of the church. I believe we're approaching or have recently entered a season of reformation in the church, and the Father is establishing, quote, rules for reformation, as seen in this heavenly court scene. The Father will not have dissension in his ranks, but instead is summoning the church leaders to, quote, tag team. The organic church needs to partner with the traditional church to bring forth the body of Christ to impact the world. Each believer's born-again birthday is to become the earth day. The world is ours, and the world is eagerly waiting for us, for every one of us, since there are no extras in the body of Christ. We've been in revolution. The Reformation's being released. We have an incredible privilege as a body of believers to explore what it looks like to be a church who's not playing church, but is the church and is bringing the kingdom into every sphere of society. Well, Father, I pray a sealing over this word in Jesus' name. By the way, the point there was this. We, how do you do new wineskin? First of all, walk it out progressive and positionally, right? Little by little. The second thing you do is you don't get sideways with the old wineskin.
Okay, just real quick. I just want to share something that I got during worship. Just that basically what I felt the Lord was saying to us, what we have to pray for the collective church in Columbus to wake up to the truth of God's word in terms of the lies that they're believing. And that as we pray, we're sending out warring angels to cut down the lies that they're believing about politics and abortion and about racism and all this, that they're the lies that they're believing, and that these warring angels that we send out as we pray collectively, they're going to be...
Right.
Okay. Yeah, Father God, we lift up the Church of Columbus and the nation.
Yes.
We just come now and just lift up that church, Father God, and we just send out warring angels to cut down and cut the chains of deception. Yes. We cut the chains of the lies, Father God, and we just tell those demons to leave now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That they will not have any power over the church anymore, in Jesus' name. Father God, we just come now and we thank you for teaching us and leading us in your truth, and that we pray that truth over the church now, Father God, and that we will just be led by you, be guided by you, and that this church will rise up and wake up now in the name of Jesus.
Good word, good word. Yes, Lord, we receive your ministering spirits. Mm-hmm. That's good. Good job, Sarah. Man, I love having everyone involved. Anything else? Yeah.
What that just brought up in my heart just now is, you all remember the prophecy about the man that was laying across the nation? And the part of it that had to do with Columbus, Ohio, I saw a tent pole rising up, and the heart of the Lord was released in Columbus, Ohio.
And that whole prophecy was about a giant, the body of Christ, being awakened. And I was just reading an article the other day on the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro's media outlet. And on that article, it said, "The giant has been awakened." Single line as its own paragraph. I was like, oh my God. Serious. There's a nowness to the things of God, and we're in the nowness of something. It's time for it to be birthed. Notice that word. Remember, Brenda kept saying, Lord, we don't want to birth it too soon. We don't want to birth it too soon, which I had felt too. But here, what was it? There's an adult child stuck in the birth canal, saying, I feel so stifled. Then I saw the hands of a clock at 3 p.m. and heard someone say, it's time to come out. It's time. It's time. Okay, guys, that was about half of what I thought I was going to do, which is great. I'll pick up next time. Amen. So this is awesome. Lord, I pray a sealing over this word, and I pray a charging of every member of this congregation. Begin to charge us with the charge that you've commissioned this church with. It's a unique commissioning. It's a unique commissioning, and we receive it by faith, and we thank you that this space is part of the positional revelation process of walking into it. In Jesus' name, amen.